Welcome to segment two of the TKO. Here on segment two, we're going to be previewing UFC on Versus, the fight card that's going to happen on Thursday, March 3rd. The main event there is going to be Diego Sanchez versus Martin Kampman. Brad, how do you see that fight going?
That's really hard to call because Martin Kampman is a very underrated fighter, I think, for how good he is. Mm-hmm. Really should have, I think in a lot of people's minds, won that last fight he had against Jake Shields.
Yeah.
Kind of got overshadowed because that was the Cain Velasquez, Brock Lesnar. So a lot of people were kind of focused on that one. Mm-hmm. Had a really good fight. A lot of people thought he won against Jake Shields.
I think he won that fight, actually.
Yeah, I mean, I think I kind of agree with you on that one. And one of those things where it just kind of came down to takedowns, you know, really. And
it kind of came down to they were hyping Jake Shields, I think is what it came down to.
That too. I think he's really underrated in his skills. I mean, he is not one to mess with. But then again, neither is Diego. But to me, Martin Kampman has been a little bit more consistent, I would say, than Diego has. But then again, Diego's been switching weight classes.
Yeah, that's the thing. And Diego fights, I think, a lot of different types of fighters, too.
Yeah.
And he has been switching weight classes. He's back at welterweight for this one.
Yeah.
I've been a big Diego fan, you know,
since
day one. So, I mean, you really got to take it with a grain of salt when you're listening to me about Diego. Yeah. But I think he's got all the skills to make another run at the championship, at least in that division.
Mm-hmm.
So I think he's going to take Kampman in this one. That's my personal
honest
take
Rob,
on it.
How do you see this one shaking out?
I definitely agree with you that Kampman is truly an underrated fighter. He's had some good wins lately. Other than that Shields, like we were just talking about, you know. But other than that, he's truly underrated. But wow, just kind of remembering how long Diego's been in the UFC. He's been in the UFC for 6 years.
Mm-hmm.
He's except for a couple of back-to-back losses a couple of times. Other than that, he always seems to put on just a great amount of wins.
Mm-hmm.
So I would have to go Diego if he is truly serious about making this title shot again.
So I'm the only one going with Kampman here. I think I'm going to take Kampman.
I think you are.
All right, that's fine. I'll own that.
I think Diego's got too much for Kampman. I mean, Kampman is, I agree with you guys, definitely very underrated as far as a fighter in the UFC goes. But I think Diego's got too much for him.
Good headline fight, though.
Yeah, for a fight night?
Yeah,
definitely. The next fight down, you're going to see CB Dolloway versus Mark Munoz.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I never took Spanish. I don't know.
Mark Munoz. You know, CB Dolloway doesn't lose. And CB Dolloway will tell you that CB Dolloway doesn't lose.
CB Dolloway loves to talk in the third person. That's what CB Dolloway does.
But, you know, not blown away by CB Dolloway. I guess he's had a couple wins. Really kind of came out with a lot of hype after being on Ultimate Fighter. And I think he lost like two or three in a row. I believe he actually might have even got kicked out of UFC and kind of came back. I think recently put a couple wins together.
Yeah.
Mark Munoz, definitely great contender, you know. Bad thing about him is he has a lot of hype, and I don't think he has the fights to support that yet. But I've seen the potential in him to kind of, you know, take that step to the next level. Yeah. Just hasn't done it yet.
I think Munoz has that hype behind him now, and CB Dolloway is sort of coming off of his hype.
Yeah.
You know, so he was there, and now he's coming down off of it. I think it should be a decent fight, though. I mean, Dolloway's 12-3.
Yeah.
Munoz is 9-2. I mean, they're pretty comparable to where they are right now. I think it'll be a decent fight to see.
Munoz, for me, he's 9-2, and I definitely agree that he doesn't have the fights to back some of the hype up, because he's 9-2, and he's already 33. We've seen guys, we were just talking about earlier, you know, guys with 60 some fights that are 30 years old.
Yeah.
So he definitely doesn't have the mileage that some of these guys have, but he is getting a little bit older.
Yeah.
I guess I'm inclined to lean toward Mark Munoz.
I think what this fight is going to show is kind of where these two go after this fight. You know, are they really hyped that we don't really need to worry about too much, or are they really, you know, contenders and they're deserving of the hype that they're getting?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think that this fight is going to mean a lot to both of them, you know, which is that extra motivation, you know, to do well, to stay in the gym, to go through with your game plan. I think I'm going to take Munoz in this one. I think it could really either way, though. I'm taking him, but I'm not, like, 100% confident.
Yeah,
like, he's going to do it for sure.
I'm going to go with Munoz as well. I think they both have a lot to gain in this fight.
Mm-hmm.
So you are going to see, I think, the best out of both of them. So it should make for a really good fight.
Right.
The next fight up is going to be Alessio Sicara versus Chris Weidman. Weidman coming in 4-0, undefeated, but all of his four fights are... Honest Rob, do you know where he had those four fights?
He was fighting in Atlantic City under the Ring of Combat fight.
So probably not the best talent level there, but he is 4-0 in professional fights, you know, and then going up against Alessio Sicara, who is much more experienced at 19-7.
And here's the thing, you know, Alessio Sakara had to pull out of the last big fight that he had, which was against Jorge Rivera.
Yeah.
Flu-like symptoms. Really, they were saying for that fight, though, he really kind of transitioned his game. Before, was really known for his striking, a really good kind of like Muay Thai boxer type.
Yeah.
But if you could get him to the ground, wasn't really much he could do there. So they were kind of saying that he was transforming his game a little bit and becoming an all-around better fighter. So I would like to see if that stays true for this fight, you know, if he kept on tweaking it and it is now an all-around MMA fighter.
He's always had that striking because I think he actually used to be a boxer, a professional boxer.
Right. I think you're right about
that. And so he's had those skills, you know, since day one in the UFC. But, yeah, it'd be nice to see him sort of round out that game and come in with some wrestling or at least some takedown defense, maybe some BJJ, Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu, you know, something like that to sort of round out that game.
At 29 years old, Sakara has been in the UFC for 6 years, so he's definitely got some experience going. I wouldn't say his fight list is a who's who, but he's definitely got some mid-level guys. He had a fight against Chris Lieben back in 08. That was a loss for him, but I mean he's got that fight. He did lose to Houston Alexander at one point, lost to Drew McFedries, lost to Dean Lister. So he's had some tough losses. He is on a 3-win streak in the UFC, notably Talis Latis and James Irvin. So I mean he's also beaten some mid level guys too,
and those are recently too that he's had those wins.
Right,
that's bodes well for his future. Anyway.
Exactly, he's kind of on the up and up.
Yeah.
So he's definitely had time to get some experience, but mainly I don't know. I just am kind of leaning toward Weidman, actually. I'd like to see him.
Well, I think if you look at his list, too, that the people you just named off, other than Dean Lister, a lot of them really stand-up boxing guys.
Yeah.
You know, so they kind of try to set him up that way, maybe because, you know, he did really have a decent boxing career, you know. But if you're going to go anywhere in UFC, in MMA, you really have to round out your game. You can't just be a striker, you know. So I think that's really going to be telling. If he loses here and looks bad on the ground, if it goes there, you know, I don't know how much of a future he really has. You know, you can't just be a stand-up fighter in the UFC. It's not going to work for you.
Yeah, I agree. You definitely need to have that ground game. I think if he's gotten that, then I think he's definitely the favorite to win this fight. You know, Weidman just doesn't have the experience. It's going to be his first time in the UFC on the big stage. You know,
I think who does have a lot of experience, you know. So.
Taking wins or losses. So, but just a quick note on Weidman, too, just to kind of percentage breakdown here. He's got one win by decision, one by submission, and two by knockout. So he may be wanting to stand up.
Yeah.
I'm going to go with Sakara on this one.
I think I'm going to take Sakara as well.
I'm kind of out a little bit here. I'm going to go with Weidman just because, like I said, Sakara's on that streak, but
I like it, Rob.
I don't know.
The
exactly.
I like it.
Exactly.
I think this is one where both fighters have a lot to lose here. I think if Sakara loses, I think he could be on his way out. Mm-hmm. And I think Weidman, the same thing. You know, when you come in and it's your first fight in the UFC and you take a loss, that doesn't bode well for your future
it
with
sets
the UFC.
The tone, that's
so,
for sure.
Yeah, yeah. The next fight down the card is going to be Brian Bulls versus Damasio Page.
Excited for this one.
What?
I'm excited for this one.
why don't you take this one then, as far as Brian Bulls goes?
Brian Bulls was a champion WEC. Has some really good fights under his belt, was in a really stacked division, making his debut in the UFC now. And I just, the only thing is he's already beaten Damasio Page. So that takes away a little bit of it for me. But he's one of those fighters, and especially in the WEC, in those you know, lighter weight divisions, there was a lot of belt changes. You'd see people that would have the belt, and then one fight later, they'd lose it, and then they'd do, you know, two fights and get it back. I mean, the belt changed hands a lot of times.
All of WEC was like the UFC light heavyweight division.
So I think it'll be good to just kind of see how these fighters, I like to see how these fighters do in UFC, you know, and to see if he can kind of come in and be a force to be reckoned with. And, you know, if you are on that, you had the belt at one time, you know, I think it's very easy. No, I don't want to say easy, but easier to get it back, you know, and to see. So I think, like, basically, if he got the belt, I don't think a lot of people would be like, oh, gosh, that's a big surprise, you know, because he does have the talent there. So, yeah, I'm excited to see this.
He's built a pretty solid record for himself. I mean, he's 8-1, so, I mean, he's only got that one loss, I think, where he lost the title. So
it is recent, though. That's his most. He's coming off that loss. Like, that was to Dominic Cruz.
Yeah, but Dominic Cruz is a great fighter.
Oh, yeah.
So, he's the champ right now.
Yeah, so, he's the current champ.
You know, you can't really knock him for that.
Yeah. Yeah.
And Bowles has headlined twice for WAC, but still, kind of going on what we were talking about, like with Sakara, the experience thing. I mean, not only the experience of being on the big stage, or at least a big stage back with WAC, but the headline fight. I mean, Bowles knows what's up.
Yeah. And Demacio Page, I don't think is anything to sneeze at. Doesn't have, you know, the type of credentials that Brian Bowles does. I mean, maybe
he's actually got, you know, arguably a better record. I mean, he's 12 and 5, but I mean,
he lost to Brian Bowles.
Yeah, he lost to the guy he's going to be fighting, unfortunately. Anstrab, do you have any more statistics there on Page? Or
with Page, like you just mentioned, 12 and 5, he's also coming off a loss to Demetrius Johnson. No one's really standing out really on his record as far as who he's beaten. I know we keep coming back to it, but he on August 3rd of 08, he did lose to Bowles once already. So that is within the past few years.
Yeah, two and a half years ago, something like that.
Unless he's made any major headway in his game, we could be seeing the same fight.
Yeah. I'm going to go with Brian Bowles on this one.
Yeah, I think I'm going to pick Bowles as well.
Bowles, based on the numbers.
It's tough to not pick a guy who's already beaten the guy, you know, recently.
It's not like this was like back in 2005 or something.
Yeah. So the last fight on the main card anyway is going to be Joe Daddy Stevenson against Danny Castillo. Joe Daddy, again, one of the more experienced fighters in the UFC. He's 36-12. He's got a lot of experience. But again, he's one of those guys that could be sort of on the back end of his career.
Yeah.
You know, sort of on the...
really put it together.
Yeah. He had that one fight, I think, against BJ Penn for a title in the lightweight division, and really that's been sort of the height of his career.
Kind of got blown out in that one, too. And, yeah, I mean, he always looked like he had the talent, but just could never quite put it together for some reason or another.
He was sort of a jack of all trades, but, you know, expert of none. He had a very rounded game, had a little bit of everything, but wasn't really great at any one thing.
Yeah. So I'm going to go with Castillo just because I'm just not that high on Stevenson.
I'm definitely not very high on Stevenson. I want to hear what Honest Rob has to say about Castillo first, though.
Well, you know, I mean, kind of jumping real quick to Stevenson, too. My view is going to be a little bit skewed because I've always liked Stevenson.
Yeah.
You guys were talking about a little bit earlier on that, like the BJ fight. Stevenson, I've always felt like he really puts his heart and soul into the fights. Mm-hmm. But as far as raw skill, you can work and work and work and work and train and train and train. And if you just don't have the raw talent for it, you just don't. So he definitely has the talent to be out there with the big boys, but maybe just doesn't have the talent to you know, get the belt.
Get that title
Anyway, kind of jumping back to Castillo, you know, he's only had the three losses. He's coming off two wins in a row. He beat Dustin Poirier and Will Kerr, both at WEC events. So it'll be interesting to see him come into the UFC. Mm-hmm. You know, he, like I said, he's only got the three losses. So other than that,
hopefully he doesn't get that sort of shell shock that I think some of the WEC fighters do get coming into the UFC. It's
Although,
just such a bigger stage.
Better than a Ring of Combat.
Yeah, it's true.
You know, WEC, obviously smaller than UFC, everything was.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's better than, it's still a largely viewed event versus something that's local, you know, or regional at least, so...
Definitely. All right. Well, I think I'm going to go with Joe Daddy Stevenson in this one. I think he does have the experience. And like we were talking about, he is a very well-rounded fighter. I think it'd be hard for Castillo to be that much better than him in any one aspect.
Mm-hmm.
So I think I'm going to go with Stevenson on this one. Honest, Rob?
Stevenson's taken some tough losses in the past few years. He lost to BJ Penn, lost to Kenny Florian, lost to Diego Sanchez, lost to George Sotiropoulos, lost to Mac Danzig.
Didn't but you're talking about all really good fighters.
But didn't he lose to me somewhere in there, too? You know?
Sure, we'll throw one in there.
Well,
to Brad.
That's why I mean tough losses because these are guys who are tough opponents.
Right.
So it's kind of hard to say, and that may be almost a nod to Stevenson in that a lot of those are decisions. So I guess I just got to go Stevenson because of the experience. Almost just jumping back to the Sakara thing. He's taken tough losses, but he's been there. He knows what the lights feel like on the UFC stage.
Yep. The last fight I think we're going to talk about on this fight card anyway, sort of an undercard fight, is Thiago Tavares versus Shane Roller. Brad, I know you had seen Shane Roller a few times.
Was a WEC fighter, fought against Anthony Pettis, lost to him. Then again, a lot of people lost to Anthony Pettis.
Yeah, that's true.
Shane Roller really has a lot of hype, though, for his wrestling skills. Really a world-class wrestler.
Mm-hmm.
Coming from WEC, obviously, into the UFC. I believe this is going to be his first fight in the UFC.
Yeah, I believe so.
So really what I want to see is that wrestling wrestling base that he has, because it's really that's kind of his big strength is his wrestling background. So I want to see how he, you know, brings that into the UFC, and really if he's as good as, you know, everyone's saying he is as far as the wrestling goes.
And there's a lot of guys that can transition very well from wrestling straight to MMA when they have that game. And it might be, you know, the boring type of surfers you're talking about, you know, where they just lay on you for three rounds, but they do rack up wins. I mean, you see this with, you know, Rashad and a lot of fighters.
Phil Davis was a world-class wrestler from Penn State. You know, Ryan Bader, you know, a good wrestler from, I don't know exactly where he was in the Pac-10.
But Arizona?
Something like
something,
that.
I don't know.
You know, but a good wrestler, you know, Division One, you know, really good. So, you never know with these wrestlers.
Yeah.
You know?
A lot of wrestlers do transition very well, very quickly, you know, from the wrestling to the MMA. So I think he's, as long as he's got that good wrestling base, and, you know, we'll see in this event, you know, I think he's got a good shot at taking Thiago.
Yeah, yeah. And I guess I would take Roller in this one, not knowing much about Thiago at this point. So
I think I'd probably go with Roller just because of the wrestling. I think he'll probably be able to win, you know, as you said, type, you know, a surfing type of fight. Mm-hmm. But Honest Rob, what do you got?
I'm thinking I'm going to lean more toward Tavares just because he's had the experience in the UFC.
He's definitely the more experienced.
But then again, though, also taking some tough losses. These guys have taken these tough losses. Tyson Griffin, Matt Wyman, Kurt Pellegrino he's lost to, and a recent draw with Nick Lentz. So, you know, Tavares knows what the stage is like. But then again, I mean, he's had a very up-and-down record with the UFC, too. So, but I'm going to go Tavares.
And not really easy fight for Shane Roller coming into the UFC.
Yeah, definitely. You know? I mean, Tavares has had some really good fights, like Honest Rob was saying there, you know, some big fights. So definitely not a walk in the park for him coming in as his first fight there.
That's going to do it for us here on Segment 2. I'm Brad.
I'm Honest Rob with analysis and stats.
And I'm Jason. Everybody remember to never leave it in the hands of the judges.